We're going to get started right off the bat. This morning we have first up Senator Keith Wagner, who is a Republican and currently serving in the Washington State Senate, representing Washington's 39th Legislative District. And that's over in East Skagit and East Snohomish County. He previously served as mayor of Cedar Woolley. He gave the Republican, this is interesting, he gave the Republican response to the governor this last week in the governor's State of the State address. And he is currently serving on the Ways and Means Committee, as well as the Ag and Natural Resources and the Law and Justice Committee. Good morning, Senator. Are you there?
I sure am, Charlie, and thank you for having me back. It's been a while, and I'm happy to be here this morning.
Great. Well, maybe. We're going to ask, you know how it's going there in Olympia, and we're going to ask you about that, and what's your impressions of the first week, and how does a Republican way of thinking going to affect Olympia this time?
Yeah, well, as you know, we kicked it off on the 12th Monday, and just finishing the sixth day right now, so we're 10% done.
Okay.
We've got an awful lot of work to do before cutoff. And thanks for mentioning my Republican response to the State of the State address. I hope people got a chance to hear that. And if they didn't, I invite them to go to our website and listen to how that went.
It's right on the front page, folks. Yeah.
We got 60 days to solve a lot of problems, and in my opinion, most of them are self-induced by bad policy from last session.
So, you know, you're serving on the Ag and Natural Resources. We can start with that a little bit. There's a lot of issues there, including water rights for farmers. And just recently, of course, the horrible flooding that went up and down our Front Range, I call it, the mountains, and flooded so many rivers. Is there anything yet going on with fixing that situation to the extent that people can get help and move forward? Anything like that?
Well, you're right. And the flooding affected my district horribly. People were pushed out of their homes. We have erosion on the roads. Highway 20 was knocked out for a while. Highway 2 has extensive damage over on the east side.
Right.
And all of that is being handled as a state emergency, which I think is great, because when, you know, that has to be taken care of quickly. We are waiting to see how the federal government is going to play in this. And, you know, I want to say that WashDOT surprised me, because I have watched projects that take forever, you know, regularly scheduled projects. These emergency projects, they got right on them. I was very impressed at how quickly we can react and fix things when we cast aside all the ridiculous permitting and other bureaucratic anchors that we throw on ourselves here. So I'm optimistic. There are resources out there. Most of those are being handled by local government. Okay. And now's the time for people who were affected to start taking stock of that. We have to file losses through the counties, to the state, so we can apply for funds to help fix that.
All right. Any talk at all about, I know this happened 4 years ago, at least in Whatcom County, I recall. And there were some thought that some solutions could be done to mitigate this a little bit. Is there anything at the state level, or is that all counties?
At the state level funds a lot of it. So Floodplains by Design is one of the programs that is state-funded, and what the state tries to do is find places where we can do better on flood management and also on the environment, so that we help our farmers and people who live along the river also improve habitat for fish. Those, as you know, we're having trouble with funding right now. We're going into this session with a $1 billion deficit over 4 years.
Right.
So there are going to be some tough choices made, and I think it's going to hurt everybody a little bit. And right now, Washington farmers, since we're on ag, are already struggling. We got a pretty sobering briefing in committee this week on profitability of Washington state farmers. They're in the red. These are federal USDA numbers. We're down around 48, 49, or 50th in profitability in the whole United States. That is so counterintuitive. You would not think that's the case. But our farmers are struggling not only with water issues, but with cost issues, especially the cost of labor, where we're at the top of the nation. And we've just overregulated our farmers and ranchers to the point they may not be able to survive. And I'm very concerned about that.
So the only real help that we could possibly do is maybe a little bit of a change of philosophy in the legislature? Or, I mean, I understand that maybe it's still in effect, the extra charge for gasoline, whatever you call it, is...
Yes, the Climate Commitment Act.
There you go. Climate Commitment Act is still in effect for farmers as well. Is that right?
I believe that we have got some of the wrinkles out on their fuel refunds, perhaps not all. But that only applies to direct equipment costs on farmers. Okay. That still the fuel to transport to your grocery stores. All of that drives the cost of food up. It doesn't help the farmer. They're not getting more for their product, but we're paying more in the grocery stores to feed our families. And it's a big problem. But fuel is one thing. I think the way that we have restricted farmers on labor costs, again, one of the highest in the nation. California is chugging along just fine. When you're comparing states, when we're doing worse than California on regulatory processes, we really need to take a hard look and maybe roll back some of these policies. I think they were bad policies. Things like overtime. In an industry where overtime doesn't really make sense, but when I say we, I mean the majority party pushed those things through, and now all of us are paying the cost at the grocery store.
Okay, we have to take a break. The show just before this one was discussing farm labor, as a matter of fact. And it's good to know that the legislature has its own, you know, understands what's going on there. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back and talk a little law and justice maybe with the senator. This is Charlie Crabtree with Fourth Corner Version of Saturday Morning Live. Good morning and welcome back to Saturday Morning Live. This is the Fourth Corner Version with Charlie Crabtree. We have with us this morning in the studio, we have Tasha Thompson, who actually is going to be doing some talking on the second half of the show with the former sheriff, I believe. Is that what's going to go on?
Yep, we got to.
All right, and in this case, right now, we're talking to Senator Keith Wagner from the 39th Legislative District. And we're having a pretty good conversation, I think. And if you get a chance, please go online and watch his response to the governor's speech on the state of the state. It pretty much covers a lot of ground, but it also helps you understand what's going on in Olympia at this time. So, Senator, I'd like to move on, if I could, to law and justice. And one of the major things that I see that you're probably, I'm not sure, you'll tell us, probably involved in is all of this anti-ICE things going on there. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, in fact, we heard a couple of very contentious bills just this week, both of which I opposed, and one of them that is specifically targeting ICE agents has to do with a no-masking rule for law enforcement in Washington State. And the chair of the committee, as in as much admitted, this is about ICE, because our police officers, our sheriffs and chiefs and Washington State Patrol typically would not wear masks. So this is kind of in a way, it's silly, because first of all, the federal government hasn't complied in California with the same type of legislation, and they're not going to comply because they don't have to. I mean, we don't have control in Washington State over rules that govern federal law enforcement. So that bill, it's more of a cheerleading bill, yeah, I think, for the left side of the aisle. And I also think it's a little bit hypocritic, because I worry about our officers, who, by the way, some of them are our citizens, too. They live here and work here.
Right.
They deserve to be safe. We legislate anti-doxing legislation in the past few sessions that covers people like us.
Right.
Elected officials.
Yeah.
So important to be safe and not be doxed. But now we're trying to force doxing in a way, uncover people's faces who have already been threatened at a time when it is, a very caustic environment. I think that's hypocritical. And I proposed an amendment to the bill, just kind of common sense stuff. The Democrats did not hear any of our amendments.
So the outlook is probably that kind of thing is going to pass. And it floors me a little bit. I was thinking about this last week, and I got out of the service towards the end of the Vietnam War, and I came home through LAX, and I was kind of a federal employee being in the United States Air Force, and, I got spat upon. So I sit here and I look at all of the things going on in Minneapolis, and these guys are trying to do their job. They don't even, as we were accused of, kill babies. So I just can't buy into anyone that organizes against law enforcement in that way. There's ways to change the laws. There's ways to get it done. Doxing and being violent has only pushed us to a place of separation rather than actually solving any of the differences between us. Anyway, sorry.
There's lots of good reasons to wear masks. And my amendment was about environmental and health protection. So you're a sheriff's deputy over in Eastern Washington on the side of the road in the 2 degrees and blowing snow. You might want to have a face mask on just to protect yourself.
Yeah.
That amendment, if you can imagine, they said no.
I can't imagine.
Hard to understand.
Yeah, it's hard, very difficult to understand. You said there was another item that was going on in the ICE.
You actually brought it up first. You're saying you're going to talk to the sheriff or retired sheriff coming up. There's a bill that we heard in Law and Justice that I call the anti-sheriff bill. The other side calls it something else entirely, but they're saying they're standardizing law enforcement. But what the bill is really about, it's about controlling elected sheriffs that they don't like. That's what it's about, and putting new standards on them, background checks and different things, which for the most part already happened. And again, the hypocrisy of that, you're taking a constitutionally elected sheriff, and the legislature's jumping in saying you need to do A, B, and C, but we don't put those same standards on ourselves. I think there's a competing bill, which will never get heard, that says senators and representatives need to take a background check too. I think that actually makes sense and would be fair.
Yeah.
But this bill, in my opinion, is just a way to get back at sheriffs who say things or do things that don't align with the majority party's way of thinking.
Well, you know, and I have a little bit of an opinion on that one. It's if they're independent and they're elected, this is another set of the government having pieces of checks and balances. And you have sheriffs that actually lead on some things that that the legislature doesn't. And I think that if you're taking away their independence in this way, that's going to cut into a lot of what's right with checks and balance in government in Washington State. That's all.
I agree. And there's already a process. If you don't like your sheriff, you can wait till the next election, elect somebody else, or you can do a recall if enough people feel that's the case.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a process built in to our Constitution. There's no need for this bill.
So the last thing is probably the one that is most could take us an hour is your committee assignment on ways and means. And I just to kind of an overview, I find it astounding what's going on in Olympia. Can you enlarge on that at all?
Wow. So last session, at the end of session, I talked about this. All of us did. The outcome, the place we are in right now, was entirely predictable. And Republicans did predict it. The majority party, again, increased the budget, which is now up over 100% over the last decade.
Yeah.
Had the highest tax increase in Washington State history.
We got a minute.
And then spent all of that and more, and now we're in a deficit, just like we said would happen. And it's funny that people are acting surprised. Well, oh, this is unexpected. No, it was 100% expected.
Now, I think you mentioned in your response that what the Republicans' plan was, or someplace I read locally, last go around. Yeah, what's that plan?
Yes, so the Save Washington budget was a budget that our budget writer, Senator Chris Gildon, put out. I think it was 2 weeks ahead of the Democrats' budget coming out, so that they could borrow from our good ideas. There was no tax increase in that budget. All the safety nets for struggling people were kept in place. And there were some tough decisions in there, but if we had adopted that bill, we would not be in this situation now.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's not as easy as just going back.
Right.
Some things like the collective bargaining agreements, the raises that all our state agencies and state employees got at a time when we really couldn't afford to give raises, you can't take that back.
Okay.
And the difference between our plan on how to handle raises, everybody was going to get a raise, $5,000 over 2 years. That's a chunk of change.
Okay, we got to go. I'm sorry. So what we're going to do is probably have you on next month as well. Things will be further along anyway.
I'd love to come back. Thank you, Charlie.